Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 26th of March. I'm your host, Paul White. Hey, I just want to say thank you to all of you who have continued to support our ministry and have made this a part of your giving. It means the world to us. We are largely an online-based ministry. It is why there's an impetus on me to put content out in a digital format, to do that as much as we can. We, as well as so many itinerant ministries, because I don't pastor a local church in the traditional sense, we have local meetings, but a lot of local pastors are supported by their local church. I don't have that. And so this is our life. A big part of that life is travel, where we go in and do meetings, help local pastors and churches with conferences or whatever. Well, those are drying up because of the travel fears. We've already, and by the time this airs, this will be either done or not done, but we're really in negotiations of whether or not we're going to be making the trip to Canada in April, just because the whole thing of trying to cross the border becomes an issue coming back. So just to give you a heads up on what that looks like, when we miss things like that, that's four sermons we would minister in 3 days, a Friday night, two Saturdays, one Sunday. So we get all of that on video. Four sermons will last me a month on Sunday postings. I'll have four sermons that would have taken me all the way up into May, and by the time I get to the need for a new one, we will have done three or four more sermons in other churches, and then that pushes us up another month. And so that's how we're always able to have new content, because I don't drop it all at the same time. Well, the problem is when you start to miss those, you don't have that content. And so we're either having to dig back into content we've never used, which there's a little bit of that, that we had saved for other purposes, or we have to create new content. And I'm always creating new content. That's not really a problem. Though I have found that those sermons don't always have the same feel as that which in which you're standing in front of a crowd and they're bringing things out of you. That's why we have our local meetings here in Georgia. If for nothing else, I have a small group of people who love to be in the room when those recordings happen, and then they provide me with a little bit of that feedback. So that's a heads up as to why some of our videos that are going to drop in the next several weeks may look like different, totally different things than you've seen us do before. If some of that is us trying to do the same thing you're doing, and that's navigate through this season and just believing that this season's going to shift soon. So just wanted to say that, throw that out there. Sometimes the platforms don't work quite. You got to go into multiple platforms to get the message out to everybody on what's going on. But my DDP audience, there's a lot of you. So that is a good way for me to get some of those things out. 2 Corinthians 5 is where we're going to head into next. Now, I only want to do so much work on it today. Tomorrow's Long Form Friday. We jump back into the format of the Finished Work Eschatology vlogs, the audio from those vlogs. So that's about an hour on Fridays. We've done that for several weeks now, getting a lot of great feedback on that. And then that allows us on Saturday, we'll introduce what the Sunday sermon is, and we'll jump into work here in 2 Corinthians 5. So for today, let's just kind of do an overall. It's like a smattering of what this chapter is all about. This is a chapter that contains both some of the New Covenant's most important material and also one of the New Covenant's most questionable moments. And it contains them back to back. And of course, the most famous material is the reconciliation material. There are 21 verses in 2 Corinthians 5, and verses 12 to 21 contains Paul's great treatise on reconciliation. We get as much about reconciliation from this one passage, as much or more than any other passage. This says things Jesus lived out, but if Paul hadn't wrote them down, we would be at a loss. So for half of this chapter, we'll dig in and spend an enormous amount of time, particularly 12 to 21, as we really mine out some of the great truths of reconciliation. And it's been the principal sermon that has steered my ministry over the last decade was the ministry of reconciliation. That transformed what I thought about ministry, what I thought about myself, and what I thought about the call. And that transformation is that I realize, and I can't say the exact moment when I realized it, but I have come to the realization that my role in ministry is to minister reconciliation. I really think it's all of our roles. It just doesn't always come out looking exactly the same. We have different ways of doing that, but overall, we're ministering to the world that they've been reconciled. That's the crux of 2 Corinthians 5. But there's 11 verses in front of that, and the first 8 of them is another assurance of resurrection, almost a repeat of 1 Corinthians 15. So wherever Paul was mentally when he closed the first letter to the Corinthians, he isn't completely out of that mentality as he is in these opening frames of the second letter to the Corinthians. And then that moment I told you about a moment ago where 2 Corinthians 5 contains some of the New Covenant's most important material, that's reconciliation, and then some of its most questionable. And that's verses 9 to 11. That's the famous judgment seat of Christ passage, which really has no real peer. Not really. You could make an argument that Paul brushes on this kind of theme a little bit in Romans, but there's no other real moment of clarity in the New Testament in regards to this famous judgment seat of Christ passage that Paul gives. So we'll have some really interesting stuff to dig into there, because part of it is trying to ascertain what almost bizarre reason Paul throws this in. And if we can use context to help determine placement, then we might be able to wrap our minds around what Paul's trying to say. And also, we got to grapple with the fact that this isn't a theme Paul comes back to. It's not as if this is something that pops up over and over again, whereas life in the Spirit pops up over and over again. Grace pops up over and over again. Reconciliation pops up over and over again. So why is it that one does and one doesn't? And so we got to grapple with that as well. And we'll also grapple with some of the various interpretations of this passage that people have grappled with over the years. And believe me, there are plenty of them. And so that's both fun and not fun, if you know what I mean. It's fun to sort of see those options and really dig in, but it's also not fun to deal with passages that sometimes are a little more difficult to get your mind around and to really resolve your spirit on. I personally don't lose any sleep over it, and I think you'll know why as I get through it. And so we'll do that work. We'll really start the work at the top of the chapter. It'll take us a few days to get into that judgment seat of Christ passage. That'll probably be way up into next week. So we're going to get going on chapter 5 starting on Saturday's podcast. As for tomorrow, long form Friday, get ready to jump back into the finished work eschatology vlogs. As we're about just past the midway point on those, we'll talk more about each one of them tomorrow on the podcast. Hope you'll join us. I'll see you then. God bless.